Today is the fifth Sunday, and we, most of the time, we try to say something that will help our young people. We sort of call it the Youth Sunday, in a sense. Many of them will be serving in the various parts of the service today. We thank Brother Terrence for leading us in the songs this morning. Did a good job on that. We thank him so much. Brother Alexander Anderson, one of our college students, he'll be leaving us in a couple of weeks, so keep him in prayer. We thank him for reading the scripture on this morning. He read two scriptures, as you are aware of. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Those are the texts that we'll be centered upon this morning. Other texts, of course, will be brought in, but those are the ones that we'll be launching our lesson from. Talking this morning, then, about things young people need to know. Things young people need to know. In the Word of God, it can be seen that God is concerned about all age groups. From the very young to the seasoned, and I was very careful how I worded this, to the seasoned and mature elderly. Does that sound all right? For the old folks. He wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 teaches us that. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. However, as I've said this morning, our lesson will focus primarily on the young. And the young that I'm talking about this morning is not necessarily the real young, as you'll see in just a moment as I share some information with you. Although everyone can benefit from what I'll be saying this morning, all our lessons are designed for everybody to benefit from them. It is so important that young people know certain things as they live in this world. Timothy, to whom Paul addressed his letter to, that was read in 1 Timothy, Paul trained him and encouraged him in the work of the Lord. It is thought that Timothy was between 30 and 40 years of age. That's why I said earlier, it's not necessarily the really young when we talk about youth. The Greek term for the word youth in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12 is neotes. This word in the culture in New Testament times, it meant someone would be considered a youth even until they were 40 years old. According to Irenaeus, a Greek cleric who lived in the first half of the second century, made this statement. He says 30, that is 30 years of age, 30 is the first stage of a young man's age and extends to 40, as all will admit. So while Timothy was not the age that we today classify as being a youth, you know, we think of youth today as being, you know, under 20 years of age and maybe a little bit over 20 years of age. While Timothy then was not in this age group, Paul's admonition is still good for the very young, as well as the 30 to 40 years of age, as well as the seasoned age. God's word is good for everybody. So today then, as we focus on the real young and those on into the ages of 30 and 40 and beyond, there are some things then that young people need to know. And I would add that this is good for those who consider themselves young at heart, like Brother Malone. There are some things that young people need to know. There are four things that I want to share with us this morning that young people need to know. The first thing I want to share with us this morning is that young people need to know that your life need to be right with God. Over the last few weeks, I've been making this statement that we need to make sure that we're right with God. Young people, all of us, need to know that our lives need to be right with God. If you listen to the peers, and especially the younger groups, they may be influenced to say to one another, we don't have to worry about God, being right with God now. We got a lot of time to do that. Well, I want to tell us this morning that we don't know how much time we have. We need to make sure that every day that we live, our lives are right with God. You see, we have a problem, Houston, and the problem is sin. And the Bible has declared all have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God. So our problem is sin. Sin has soiled our lives. It has dirtied our lives. Our lives are unclean because of sin. And the only way to take care of the sin problem is to be right with God. But we can't be right with God in and of ourselves. The only way we can be right with God is to allow Jesus Christ to come into our lives and direct our lives along life's journey. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, and he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. If we're going to be right, young people, if we're going to be right, older people, with God, we're going to have to allow Jesus to control and direct our lives through obedience to his word. So we need to make sure that our lives are right with God. How can that be done? You know, when the psalmist wrote one of his psalms, in Psalms 119, in verse number 9 beginning, he says this. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What does that statement or what does that question suggest to us this morning? It suggests to us that a young man, and yea, even all men, have something wrong with their lives. Otherwise, he never would have made the statement or asked the question, how can they cleanse their way? If their way was already cleansed, it wouldn't be no need for him to ask that question. So recognizing the fact that people have a problem in their lives, and the problem is uncleanness or sin, he says, how or wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Then he goes on and tells us how that's done. He says what? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The only way you and I are going to have clean lives is that we're going to have to take heed to the word of God. Take heed simply means listen to what God has to say and then obey what God has to say. It doesn't do us any good just to listen to what God has to say. We have to obey it. Mom and Dad used to say long ago, son, you take heed to what I say. I knew, Sister Augustine, that meant more than just listening to what they said. If I didn't know it, I knew it when they got through with putting the strap on me. I had to listen to what they said, and I had to obey or do what they said. So then, the psalmist says, here's the way a young man cleanses way. He takes heed according to the word of God. And then he goes on and says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. All we need, folks, today that will seek the Lord with their whole heart. We need people today who are concerned about being right with God. He goes on and says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then he says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not do what? Sin against thee. I submit to us this morning that many times sin enters into people's lives, or I shouldn't say people, I should say into our lives, because we have not hid the word of God in our hearts. And that statement means hid doesn't mean that we hid it, that we put it in there and covered it up, and we don't know where it is, we can't find it. It simply means that we put it in our hearts, and again, we pay close attention to it, and we let it stay there. As the Proverbs writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. When we learn the truth, we keep the truth with us, and we hold it dear to us so that we can direct our lives according to the word of God. No wonder the Proverbs writer says again, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Young people, God will direct your path if you trust in him, if you hide his word in your heart. And so when you are tempted in life, or when we are tempted in life, if we have the word of God in our hearts, it won't be so easy for us to give over to that temptation, because we have a standard that we're trying to keep. I submit to us, and I ask us all this morning, make sure we hide the word of God in our hearts. He goes on and he says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have what? Respect unto thy ways. Young folks, have respect for God's word. All of us have respect for God's word. If we don't have respect for God's word, we're not going to have respect for anything else. That's why people disrespect folks, because they don't have respect for God's word. So I was asking us this morning then, make sure then that we strive to have God's word in our heart, because it is only through the word of God that we can cleanse our way. Jesus said it to this, I like this I should say, in John 15 and verse number 3. He says, now you are what? Clean. How am I clean, Lord? You are clean, he says, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Again, he didn't just speak his word, but they were following his word. We only are clean when we listen to what he says and when we obey what he says. So Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This means that you and I this morning need to study God's word to know what his word says. And then again, we need to have a willingness of mind to obey his word. Make a decision this morning to come to God and to know God even while you're young. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, the first verse that Anderson read. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. And thou shalt say, I have no what? Pleasure in them. The evil days, talking about the older years, they're coming. If we live long enough, we're going to get old. There are a lot of things that are going to happen when we get old that we won't say, and we can't say, we really have pleasure in these. Our back aches, we don't really have pleasure in that. The arthritis, we don't have pleasure in that. All of these things that we're bombarded with when we get on up into life, we don't truly have pleasure in those things. We deal with them, yes, but we don't truly have pleasure in them. But we deal with them because hopefully we know, if we are children of God, doing his will, that they are not going to last always. Eventually, we're going to get out of this life. One day, we're going to go home to live with our God. But unless we are right with God, we don't have that hope. We got to be right with God to have the hope of going home to live with God, to to let all of these things that we deal with in this life be bygones. So young people and all of us, make sure that you're right with God. God loves us. If nobody else loves you, young folks, know that God loves you. You are in that statement that is made in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world, everybody, young and old, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. God loves you. So if nobody else loves you, you may say, mama don't love you. You may say, my dad don't love me. My sister don't love me. My brother don't love me. My classmates don't love me. But God loves you. Saw a sign on a church sign posted on Facebook in Valdosta, Georgia, the West Hill Church of Christ. And it says this. It was Evan D. Moore's been the minister there for many years. I think he's retired and he's ministry emeritus. But the sign says, Kiki may not love you, but Jesus does. That was a great sign. God loves you when nobody else does. So don't be worried so much about Kiki. You be worried about God and be thankful that God loves you. And since God loves you, then you ought to love God. But you know how you love God? By obeying God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So make sure that you are right with God. The second thing that all young people need to know, and all of us need to know, is that we need to be an example of a Christian. Young folks, old folks, all of us need to be example of a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who has obeyed the Lord in the water and grave of baptism, has obeyed his gospel, and a member of the body of Christ, the church you can read about in the New Testament. That is a Christian. But we need to be an example, but not just an example, but a good example. Make sure, young people, that you are a good example worth following. After all, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your, what kind of work? Good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So make sure you are a good example. And that's what Paul was talking to the young man Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Again, he says, let no man despise your youth. Don't let anybody look down on you. Don't let anybody ridicule you. Let no man despise thy youth. But he says, but be an example of the believers. And always when I refer to this verse, always the first thing that I need to say is that you make sure that you are a believer. Because that's what he starts with. Be an example of the what? Believers. You see, believers, true believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those who are striving to follow Christ, have certain characteristics about them. And so he enumerates these things that ought to be in a believer's life. He says, be an example of the believers. And he says, here's how it's done. Be an example of believers in what? In word. How you talk. You see, a child of God just shouldn't, I wouldn't say can't, because that we can do basically anything the Lord let us do, but a child of God shouldn't talk just any kind of way. So he said, you be an example of the believers in word. The words that come out of your mouth ought not to be any kind of words. I know young folks like to be cool. They like to have the latest lingo. But sometimes this latest lingo ain't the God lingo. You make sure that your words are proper, that your words are decent, that your words are wholesome. After all, Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 25, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Good. that it may minister grace to the hearers. Make sure that your words are good words, proper words, the way that you talk. And then he says, in conversation, or in conduct, or in manner of life, make sure that your manner of life is that which becometh the gospel of Christ. Make sure that your manner of life, your walk in life, is reflective of how Christ would walk. A long time ago, or several years ago, this saying came out, what would Jesus do? In situations in life, we need to always ask ourselves, how would Jesus handle the situation? If somebody bully you, how would Jesus handle that? They bullied Jesus. Oh, yes, they did. But he didn't bully them back. I was listening to a man on the radio coming here this morning. And he made a statement there about bullying. And he said this. He says, again, it may not be good. You may not like it. But they can't do it forever. One day this life is going to be over. Our problem is that we won't allow our faith to take us from this life to the next. We want to handle everything in this life. Everything will not be handled in this life. So yes, it is a distraction. Yes, it is an inconvenience. And yes, it is sometimes even hurtful and painful and shameful when all these things happen to us. But eventually, God's going to get us out of it. Let's put up with it. That's what Jesus did. What would Jesus do, you know? Everybody who had those bracelets on, those necklaces on, you know, what would Jesus do? Do you really want to know what would Jesus do? Or were you wearing them just because it was a fad? Let's handle it like Jesus handled it. Make sure your manner of life, your conduct, is that what the Lord would approve of. In charity, he goes on and says, or in love. And you can read all about what love is all about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go there and read it sometime. Make sure that your life is exhibited by love characteristics. In spirit, talking about your attitude. You know, sometimes I can say all of us sometimes usually can have some bad attitudes. Let's make sure that we work on our attitude so that we can be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. And he says, be an example of what else? In faith. Be faithful to the Lord, not just in coming to church. You want to do that? Yes. But in every aspect of your life, be faithful to the Lord. How long are you going to do it? Until death. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, in purity, live an undefiled life. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22 says, keep thyself pure. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. Talks about the fact that we need to avoid the things of the flesh. You need to be a beacon to draw other young people to Christ. But you won't do it unless you are a good example. So young people and all of us, we need to know that we need to be a good example of a Christian. And the best way to be a good example of a Christian, over and beyond what I've just said, is the third way, or the third thing that you need to know, is that God wants you to be dedicated to him. If you're not dedicated, if I'm not dedicated to the Lord, I'm not going to be that example. It takes dedication to be what God wants us to be. Young people, I don't know if we have any here that's taking off going to college, but in a few weeks you're going to be going back to school and going to college and that kind of thing. One of our college young ladies, I think they're out of town. They told me Wednesday night they're going to be out of town today. But I know we got two here that's going back to college. The young man that read the scripture, he's going back to college. His sister going back to college. I want you to remember what your parents have taught you and remember what your Bible class teacher have taught you, and remember what the preachers at this pulpit have taught you about being dedicated to the Lord. You're going to go back to college. You probably have already found it out that most folks in college are not dedicated to the Lord, because a lot of them have gone to college and they say, now I'm out of the reach, the arm reach of mom and dad. Now I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to forget about all this church stuff that they had us in when I was at home. Oh, yeah, it happened in my day and time 50 years ago. It's still happening. Young folks, most young folks, forget about the Lord when they leave home. But young people, I want to encourage you to know that God wants you to be dedicated to Him. And it comes with loving Him with all your heart. Matthew 22 and verse 37. You got to love God with all that you have if you're going to be dedicated to Him. Yes, indeed. We must be loyal to our Lord. We must love Him more than anything else. We must make Him our priority. And talking about making Him our priority, there are many young people, unfortunately, that may be even led by their parents, that don't make the Lord their priority. They'll go on a vacation and forget about church. They'll go off to some activity and forget about church. But they'll make these other activities their priority. They won't let their child miss a practice for a ball game. But they won't make, they won't show that same dedication and loyalty to the church and to the work of the church. You got your priorities mixed up. It's a lack of dedication is what it's all about. God wants young people and old people to put Him first, to be dedicated to Him. But if you don't love Him, you're not going to be dedicated to Him. Yes, you need to be dedicated to our Lord. And Timothy was a great example of dedication. Listen to what the Bible says about Timothy. Listen to what Paul said about his son in the gospel, Timothy, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 19 beginning. Paul said this. He says, he's writing to the church at Philippi. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, and that's Timothy, another spelling of Timothy. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, he says, shortly unto you, that I may also know a be rather of good comfort, and when I know of your state. And he goes on and says this in the next verse. Listen to this one. This is the clincher. He says, for I have no man lack-minded who will naturally care for your state. And the next verse says this. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You know what he's talking about? He says, I don't have nobody that is dedicated like Timothy. Everybody else got their own agenda. Everybody else got to go on their vacation. Everybody else got to do this. Everybody else got to do that. Only Timothy is dedicated to the Lord. What a great compliment. Young people, that's a great compliment that you can receive. Be dedicated to the Lord. I preached a sermon some time ago, and I referred to the scripture back in 3 John. Where John says, when he was writing to his beloved Gaius, he says, I just rejoiced greatly when I found your children walking in truth. That's dedication. Every parent would shout for joy to know that no matter where their children go, that they're walking in the truth. And that's the greatest honor perhaps you can pay young people to your parents, is to stay faithful to the Lord. You don't stay faithful to the Lord for them, but they are glad that you're faithful. You stay faithful to the Lord because you love the Lord and because you want to go to heaven. Dedication is the only thing that'll get you there. And so you need to stay dedicated to the Lord. I'm reminded of Daniel, one of those young men that was carried off into Babylonian captivity. I'm also reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But let me just talk just a moment about Daniel. The Bible says this concerning Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, listen to what the Bible has to say about Daniel. The king, before we get to verse 8, the king had requested that these four men, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that they come and dine at his table, so to speak, eat his food that was prepared for him. But the Bible says in verse number 8 that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. That's dedication. That's dedication. Nor, the Bible says, with the wine which he drank. The Bible says, therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, if Daniel had not been dedicated, you know what he'd have done? Just bring me the king's meat. I'll eat whatever's set before you. But Daniel made a request because he was dedicated to the Lord not to defile himself. All of us need to be dedicated to the Lord not to defile ourselves. If we are dedicated to the Lord, young people, you won't defile yourself. Your buddies out there, they want to defile you, but you say, no, I'm dedicated to the Lord. Don't defile yourself. Stay pure again. Stay dedicated to the Lord. God wants that dedication from you. Lastly this morning, I leave with you this thought. That every young person needs to know this. Every middle-aged person needs to know this. Every senior and super senior citizen need to know this. That we're going to have to give an account of our lives before the Lord. You need to know that, young folks. We need to know that, all of us. Solomon, again, said the very thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 8 beginning. He says this, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, and all that cometh is vanity. But then, next verse, he said this. He said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine, the Bible says, eyes. You know what Solomon sounded like he was saying? Sound like Solomon was saying, you live it up. You do whatever you think you're big enough to do. But then he comes and makes this statement. He says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So what is this? On one hand, he's saying, if you think you're big enough to do this, you go ahead and do it. Because I can't stop you anyway, basically what he's saying. You see, we live a life, we live our lives making choices. Nobody can make us choose to do this or do that. So Solomon says, you do whatever you want to, but I just want you to remember that for everything you do, you're going to have to give an account of it. Young people, all of us, let us always remember that we're going to have to give an account of our lives to the God of heaven. That ought to motivate us and prompt us to again strive to be right with God. It ought to motivate us again to be dedicated to the Lord. It ought to motivate us again to just be close to the Lord as we can possibly be, so that we can always be right in His sight. Yes, indeed, we're going to have to give an account of ourselves before the Lord. Solomon would go on and say in the last couple of verses in chapter 12, and Solomon was a man who tried everything and did everything, but he found out that it was all vanity. And he says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse number 13. He said, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then he concludes by saying, for God shall bring every work into the judgment, include every secret thing, things that you think mama don't know anything about, your best friend don't know anything about. God's going to bring everything, he says, into the judgment, whether it's good or whether it's evil. So again, be careful how you live. Make sure you're dedicated to the Lord. Make sure that you remember the Lord and you're close to the Lord and you obey the Lord. Because one day you're going to have to stand before Him. And you're going to hear, we're going to hear one of two things. We're going to hear either, come ye blessed of my Father, and receive a kingdom that was prepared before the foundation of the world. Are we going to hear, depart from me? I know what you want to hear. You want to hear the same thing I want to hear. I want to hear, come ye blessed of my Father. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, come up higher, and I'll make thee ruler over many. If I have not sought the Lord with all my heart, if I have not been dedicated to the Lord, if I have not been right in God's sight, when I stand before Him in the judgment, I'll hear Him say, depart from me. What a sad statement that's going to be. So young people, all people this morning, these are some things that we need to know. And we need to remember these things and put them in our heart, so that we will obey the Lord and be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. John said it like this as I close. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. John says, and I saw the dead, both small and great, he says, stand
you.